Welcome to Cinema Savants. He's Todd Vandenberg. I'm Rob Steele, and we've got a lot of movie news to get through. Lots of trailers, lots of pictures. Yeah, we're not going to put up the pictures because we'll get sued, and that would suck because I'm broke. How about you, Todd? You broke? I'm not doing well enough to be sued, but you know, I'm just saying we're human and living in this society. Then there's the excruciatingly rich, which is where we're starting this week because March 20th, this Wednesday, is hump day, but it's also finally getting over the hump in that Disney finally officially acquires 20th or 21st Century Fox. There's finally a date on it. It's Wednesday.
Which is crazy that it's because all along they've been talking about June. Every time you'd seen an article, it would be sometime this summer. And if they gave us a month, it would be June. And now All of a sudden, hey, Wednesday, cool. Which is terrific because we can finally start seeing some progress on all of these semi-abandoned Fox movies, most of which probably shouldn't be made anyway, but, you know.
I'm still looking forward to the Gambit movie, he says through clenched teeth in such a bold-faced lie.
Oh, my God, yes. Please, please derail that. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but, you know, got to start somewhere, and that seems to be it. Although one of the last 20th or 21st century? They keep waffling on that.
Yeah, they're silly.
Not that it matters anymore.
No.
Disney is going to be releasing, I guess, for the 40th anniversary of the original Alien movie, some shorts. And I don't mean the kind you wear. That would be weird. There's a trailer for a series of 6 short films based on Alien that were apparently fan-created, or at least fan-written. But yeah, they're all little, they're like the original Alien movie. I don't know that they're necessarily sci-fi. They're horror movies in a sci-fi setting.
Ah, beautiful.
So all of these are, you know, look at the jump scares and, you know, they're all scary movies. You know, which I think that's interesting for a 40th anniversary to do something like this. I kind of like the idea because the Alien universe was set up to be something bigger, and they keep not really doing it since Alien.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting if there's any fan content, whether it's written or created or whatever. I mean, that's an odd, it's very cool, but that's a surprising thing, especially for Disney to move forward with that.
Well, it was Fox that put it together, but yeah, Disney, you know, since it's coming out after Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising that Disney is going ahead with it, but very, very cool. And totally agree with you as far as the Aliens universe, how they've repeatedly, I don't know if they've actually dropped the ball, but they haven't exactly scored touchdowns ever since Aliens. I mean, and some pretty big misses here and there, Covenant, but cool.
It's like the Buffalo Bills. They were really good for a little while around when Aliens came out. And since then, not much. Sorry, that was an analogy that one of my friends brought up this week. And I went, you know, that actually kind of works.
Totally works. Totally, totally works. 4 times to the Super Bowl, no ring.
It's impressive that they got there 4 times in a row, though. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, I think the main reason Disney's putting this out is because they're finished. You know, there's no more that needs to be done with this. They're coming out. oh, my apologies. They're actually starting to come out Tuesday, which is the day before the official takeover. They're coming out on IGN, which is a YouTube channel. They're supposed to be coming out 1 a week until May 3rd, I think.
Cool.
So, yeah. And they actually look they look like the first Alien movie, which is not a bad thing.
No, that's a terrific thing.
And seeing as that's what they're supposed to look like, well done. Then there's some really confusing news, and there's a reason I'm putting this different from the rest of the DC Comics news, of which there will be more later. Chris Pine is showing up in the new Wonder Woman movie, and no one is really sure why, because it takes place in 1984, which is the title of the movie, where Wonder Woman takes on George Orwell. No, that's not. That could be right. We don't know yet. Anyway, Patty Jenkins says, we shouldn't expect that much in the way of ties to the previous film. Let me see if I can find the quote here. It's, Jenkins was just determined that that this movie should be the next iteration of Wonder Woman, but not a sequel, and she's definitely delivering on that. It's a completely different time, and you'll get a sense of what Diana slash Wonder Woman has been doing in the intervening years, but it's a completely different story that we're telling.
Which it should be, because one is set in World War One and one is set in 1984, and it certainly makes sense with the character. I mean, that you get that sense of there's been a huge gap. So obviously it's a sequel, duh, because it's the main character. But at the same time, I can see pulling away from that first movie, because how much continuity are you going to have? Although having Steve Trevor in the movie when did Wonder Woman come out? Been a couple years, few years?
It has, at least three.
Yeah, Steve Trevor, there's not much reason to see him in 1984. Aside from the fact that that was in World War One, and it's been a few years, so it'll be interesting to see how they bring him, the character, back. Because, yeah, obvious reasons. So
doesn't quite make sense. They said that they wanted to, this installment, which I'm like, really, an installment, avoids sequel trappings and is a standalone film in the same way Indiana Jones or Bond films are, instead of one continuous story that requires many installments.
Which makes perfect sense.
All righty then. But speaking of Bond, and that's why I moved this story to the beginning. They announced James Bond's new car for the forthcoming, what is it, Shatterhand? Is that what they said it was?
That's the last title I've heard, yes.
Anyway, they said he's going to be driving the Aston Martin Rapide E, of which there were only going to be 155 made, and apparently Bond is going to get at least one of them, unless he completely wrecks it like he did in the first movie.
He probably will destroy it.
I brought this up for two reasons. One, the car is going to cost $283,000, so there's some of your budget, at least. And also, and this is a first for Bond films, the Aston Martin Rapide E, that E stands for electric. Bond is going to be driving an electric, I'm not sure if this is quite a supercar. It's at least it's an Aston Martin. It's not going to be slow.
I was going to say, an Aston Martin, yeah, it's probably going to be a little faster off the blocks than a Yugo.
Just a bit. I'm just thinking, you know, the chase scenes they have in Bond movies are usually loud. Listen to that engine go, this one's not going to. So the chase scenes are going to be a lot quieter.
Yeah, I would imagine they would play on that. Hopefully they would. The fact that he'd be able to sneak up on the villains at about 180 miles an hour with no problem.
Exactly. And this car will do that, by the way. This is not... What was the one that Top Gear always made? The G-Wiz. Which looked like something I could have put together. That's... Top speed of... it does 0 to 60 in... Well, it takes the battery longer to get there. You'll need to charge it at least twice while it's moving to get to 60. This one... No. This does a... I think it gets, it's actually does get up to like 200 miles an hour.
Yeah. It's like you said, it's an Aston Martin. So
Aston Martin. And actually it's kind of pretty.
A cool little note. Yeah. Again, Aston Martin won't be in my garage, but you know, that's okay.
Yeah. So. There's too much crap in my garage. If someone wants to come take all of my wife's old clothes, cause I'd like to get rid of them. I'm just saying, speaking of, women in clothes, I guess. I don't know. That's not much of a segue. The Captain Marvel film.
Yes.
That's one of the worst segues I've ever done.
Yes. That's why I'm laughing. Go ahead.
Captain Marvel, I think, beat the expectations they had for it.
Yeah.
Because they said they were expecting, what, they were expecting $80 million, and they got, what, they got 80, oh, almost 90 just in China.
Right. I was working on a chart for all the, which eventually I'll put up for all the superhero films of DC and Marvel. And the early talk was that they were projecting like 80 or 90 million opening weekend here. And then of course it got bumped up and bumped up and bumped up, and it wound up doing what, 155 or 156. And like you said, the projections for overseas, even just a few days before the overseas release, was 200 million and wound up doing 300 million overseas.
302 for a total of 455 worldwide.
Which is crazy. And now?
Just behind the Avengers Infinity War at 630 million.
Yep. And now it's over 600.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was just the opening weekend. So Yeah, good thing those internet trolls managed to keep people away from the movie.
Yeah. You know, and it's a good film. So, yes, we I think we both recommend it.
Yeah, very good film.
So
I put it about in the middle of the Marvel pantheon. And again, like we were saying, that's a really high bar. So not my favorite Marvel film, but definitely very good, very entertaining. And glad that people ignored the hurt little fanboys and actually went to see an excellent story about a female hero who kicks a lot of...
And not the only place she showed up this week, because there was a new Avengers Endgame trailer, which she is in very, very briefly, but she's in it.
She's there.
I'll get to that in just a minute. I want to get to the big controversy that came out of it, though, because they released the trailer and the movie poster.
Right.
But there was a bit of they're going to call it an omission, because the character of General Okoye she's on the poster, but they kind of left, and I'm going to mispronounce her name. Can you pronounce her name? Because I can't.
I also have difficulty with her name.
Okay. Danae Guerrera. Ma'am, I do apologize for butchering your name. I don't mean to.
Yes. We all know who she is. Hopefully we all know who she is.
You know who I'm talking about. She's awesome. She really is. But they left her name off the line of actors in the movie poster. And a lot of people went, you left somebody out. Shame on you, Marvel. And I think it was like an hour later, they went, Photoshop. Beep. Oh, look, it's there.
Yeah. I honestly don't know how they managed to do that. I mean, she's on the poster, why would you not put her name on there? Zero freaking sense. I mean, I could see if they didn't put the character on the poster, because it's kind of a crowded universe as it is, it would be a bad choice. But I could see that. But when you have her there and not her name, it's like, really? Your quality control is surely someone look at least count the names, count the faces. Oh, they match. We're good. Really weird.
See, I actually think there's a bit more to this poster than people are letting on, though, or than Marvel's letting us know.
Yes. Because
did you notice that? And I haven't seen anything about this anywhere. This is the first time, to my knowledge, this is being brought out to a public forum. It's a first for our show. Woo! Okay. Did you notice that everyone in the poster, including Thanos, is looking to the left, except Thor and Okoye, who are looking to the right? I'm thinking they know something that no one else in this movie knows. Because, Banner, who is pretty much dead center in this, his face is, pointing toward the right, but his eyes are looking left. Everyone is facing one direction except those two characters.
Interesting.
I think there's going to be something to that.
I noticed.
And I don't really know where to put this other bit, because I want to put it in before we get to all the trailers, because I'll just lump all the trailers together in the show, because that seems to be a thing. The only other big piece of Marvel news I think we had this week was concerning Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yes.
Where James Gunn is back, which I think is going to make a lot of people happy, but it's also confused a lot of people because of, the big deal made about, oh, look what he did a long time ago. Look at these horrible things he said in jest.
Right.
But they changed their mind and brought him back. And I could not help thinking, and I don't know, Todd, if you're familiar with the British comedian Jimmy Carr.
I've heard the name.
I actually think he's funny, but I also am fully aware that he is quite possibly the most offensive comedian on the planet.
I need to watch him more often. But anyway,
But the thing is, he doesn't do anything hatefully. He will James Gunn got made fun of, ousted from Guardians of the Galaxy for making a pedophile joke. Jimmy Carr does entire routines of pedophilic jokes, but they're jokes. It's humor.
Right.
It is not done in a hateful kind of way. And I can't help but thinking, if Jimmy Carr actually lived in the States, he would have been tarred and feathered by now. But his thing is he makes fun of everybody. He doesn't leave any group out. And if he does, hey, you forgot to make fun of these people. Oh, sorry. Here's this joke for them. that's just his thing. And he's done stuff in the States. And then there's James Gunn, who did this. I'm not even sure exactly what it is he was supposed to have done, because I saw the video of that, or clips of the video that he supposedly brought out, and everyone said, "Ooh, no, that's pedophilic." And I kind of went, "Is it? Looked like a Halloween party."
Yeah, that video was just a party, and everyone was in costume, and that was stupid. But yeah, he did make some jokes about pedophilia, what 10, 11 years ago. And when we were talking about this before, Lee, who of course isn't with us today either, and you had both said that you felt Disney was overreacting, and I said, well, I can kind of see their point. I think it's stupid, but I can see their point because it's going to upset a lot of their clientele because it's Disney, and if it had been another studio, they probably would have had another reaction. And I'm glad they've come back with this. What's really odd about this story is that apparently Disney never looked for another director, ever.
Yeah.
So now it looks like basically they just thought, we're going to put this on the shelf. People will still want to go see it, even if we push it back a year or two. And we'll just sit tight. And then we'll come back and we'll say, you know what? We've had second thoughts. I don't think they ever intended to have it done by another director. Doesn't sound like, because they never interviewed like that, which is interesting. And obviously they couldn't come out and say, well, we're going to delay this for a year for things to die down. You can't do that. So I think they took that stance to let things kind of blow over and then bring them back. And there doesn't seem to have been nearly the amount of backlash against them bringing them back as there was, you know, the hue and cry over, oh my God, he told two jokes about pedophilia 10 years ago. So very
cool. Jimmy Carr would have been roasted by now, literally.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, alive. So very cool move by Disney. I'm really happy to see this. So
basically they put him in a timeout.
Exactly. That's exactly what they did, which is so strange.
You know what, we're
such an odd world.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, the new Avengers trailer, what'd you think?
I like the new Avengers trailer. I love the fact that there are so many callbacks to the origin films of the original of all these characters, because one, it ties in the entire journey, right? From the very first Avengers, not very first Avengers film, but the very first Marvel film. Brings it all forward, and it avoids, which is key, it avoids showing a lot of footage from the movie itself. So they're staying away from any possible spoilers as much as they can. So I think the trailer is brilliant. Makes me want to see the movie. That's the whole point of a trailer. Brings the entire package together, you know, and I love the fact with that so much of it is black and white, and it'll have one color thrown in. I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful piece of work. I really think it is.
Yeah.
And very smart. At the same time.
So we think that one looks good. What did you think of the new, sticking with Disney, Aladdin trailer?
Before we move to the Aladdin trailer, okay, sorry. One more thing I did want to mention about the latest Endgame trailer, because you mentioned that Carol Danvers is in it, Captain Marvel.
Yes.
The whole thing is just, the whole trailer is just dark and grim. Not like DC tries to make everything dark and grim, but appropriately so. I mean, half the universe is gone. But at the very end, there's the little scene with Thor and Captain Marvel, which is just, that's excellent.
I approved of that scene.
Yeah, that's just great because it, you know, it gives you this little note at the end of the trailer, which is to let you know, hey, this is still a Marvel movie. So you're still going to have some moments where it's like, what the hell? This is so crazy. So fun, a fun little bit. Anyway, as for Aladdin,
I think it looks better than the teaser they gave us, but that's not saying much.
Yeah, the only thing that has me remotely interested in this movie, is that, and I've only seen this reported in one place, I can't remember where it was or I'd give them credit, but apparently there's a hip-hop vibe to this, which could be an absolute freaking train wreck, obviously.
Or brilliant.
If that's true, at least they're doing something different with it other than just remaking the damn movie, which I wish they would stop this. I mean, I like the Beauty and the Beast live action thing, but it's still not as good as the animated version. So I'm sick of this. Oh, let's make more money just by retelling the same damn story the same way. It's like, yeah, I get it. It's a whole new generation to watch it. Just re-release the original one that was excellent. I mean, if you screwed up the original one somehow, yeah, definitely work at it. Make a new version. But I really have zero interest in watching the live action Aladdin. I have zero interest in watching the live action Lion King. On and on.
But Alan Tiddick is playing Iago in this version.
Yeah.
Or Tiddick. Cool. Or Tiddick. How the hell do you pronounce his name?
I just say Alan.
Like the dinosaur in Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah, I'll watch it when it's streaming free. Yeah. I really don't care. Sorry, Disney.
Can't bring myself to care about or this next one. Jumanji 3 or Welcome to the Jungle 2, whatever you want to call it. They released a picture of the characters who are going to be in this movie. And guess what? Since it's in a video game and it's the same actors, they look like they just dug up a picture from the previous movie and put it out.
Which would be a lot cheaper.
What do you know? They look the same. Wow. They did put out an interesting note, though, that in case you didn't see Welcome to the Jungle, it's now a video game, not a board game. And the four main characters got zapped into the video game, kind of Tron-ish, and yet not as good. And they got to be Jack Black and The Rock and Karen Gillan and Kevin Hart. Except this time, they're switching characters.
Now that's
so
fun.
Instead of going in as the same characters, they're going to be different people this time. So at least that's an interesting twist, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if I'm going to watch it, but...
Oh, I don't know either. Look what came out on DVD this week. I'll rent it. I'm just saying. Anyway, let's see. Another trailer that came out this week. And this one scared me. The first trailer for the Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. For there is such a thing. There was a comic, and it sold really well. This trailer looks crap.
I'm shocked.
I mean, apparently we are going to get to see a Batman versus Shredder fight, which ought to not take very long if we're honest about it.
Right.
But it just doesn't look good.
That's unfortunate. Although, would you say it doesn't look good because the animation style is targeted towards like really young kids? Or is it just because
it looks like Adventure Time.
Oh.
Which is an animation style that needed to have been stopped.
Yeah. Well,
so moving on to the next trailer.
Disney, DC put this out? I mean, what?
No, DC is putting it out in conjunction with whoever the Ninja Turtles own now, or owns the Ninja Turtles. The Ninja Turtles own.
That's exciting.
Oh, geez. Anyway, there's also a new trailer for another DC product that I got to admit, I'm liking it less and less. A new Shazam trailer. And the more I see of this film, the more I keep thinking Will Ferrell is going to show up at any time.
Oh, God.
Which, I'm sorry. It's why I am...
It's terrifying.
I was borderline on wanting to see this anyway, and the more I see of it, the less interested I am.
That is terrifying news. I have not seen the latest trailer, but I assume it's more silliness, correct?
It is.
Hence the Will Ferrell comment. I mean, I like the fact that they're going light and having fun with it, but I am getting a little concerned that maybe they went too far in this one.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah, exactly. In the flesh. Yeah, basically.
That's who plays Superman in that cameo at the end is Will Ferrell. Ugh.
Oh, jeez.
I hope I'm kidding.
Yeah. Will Ferrell is going too far with the concept incarnate, which is why I can deal with some of his movies and then others that not going there at all. Well, let's hope that they're skewing the trailers towards the comedic aspect, and which happens a lot in movies, and then you go to see the movie and it's like, oh, it's actually kind of a different film. So, which will just piss off people who think it's a broad comedy, and then if it turns out not to be, why did you sell it to me this way? I hate it.
See, I'm really annoyed because Mark Strong is the bad guy in this, which would make the second DC movie he's been the bad guy in, and he is cool. He would make an awesome bad guy in a movie, and they keep putting him in these crap movies. I don't know.
Maybe he'll get his chance with Marvel someday.
That would be nice. I'd like that. Oh, but speaking of Shazam, do you remember the 1970s TV series? I know I've just lost a lot of the listeners right now who are going, there was a TV series in the 70s. I didn't think TV was invented in the 70s.
In the 70s?
I vaguely remember the TV show from when I was like six. Anyway.
Happily recall it.
It was a live action series. Billy Batson looked like he was constantly wearing a motorcycle helmet, but no, that's really just his hair. Wow. Anyway, the old series has been remastered and is now available on the DC streaming service.
Ooh.
So if you've got that and you want to see what we had to put up with in the 70s to get our superhero fix, go for it.
Yeah. 70s were terrible time for stuff like that.
Elektra Woman and Dinah Girl. All right.
Captain America movie. Wow.
The really old one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on to two more bits of DC news. One of them doesn't make a lot of sense. They announced this week that Flash, the movie starring Ezra Miller, is going to start filming in November. And then about an hour later, they announced that Ezra Miller might be writing the script for it.
It's good to know that some things never change, that DC still totally has their act together.
Something about putting a cart in front of an ox. I'm not sure what exactly. I will say this, though. Ezra Miller is supposedly teaming up with comic author Grant Morrison. And by comic author, I mean the one who does the stuff for DC. That could be pretty cool.
That would be very
Grant
cool.
Morrison's written some really good books.
I'm kind of questioning why Grant Morrison would need a buddy to help him write.
Well, I mean, it's the guy who's starring in the movie.
And so? You know, does he have... I mean, this is DC in a nutshell. It's like the guy is invested in the character, so he wants to help. Do we have any hint that he has any capability as a writer whatsoever? I mean, maybe he does, and maybe this will be terrific, but we're going to start filming in November. Oh, and maybe Ezra Miller will be working on the script. It's like,
didn't they write movies before they came up with dates?
We're halfway through March. It's like, so you're going to slap this script together, go through. Wow. Unbelievable. Well, actually, not unbelievable. Perfectly believable, because it's freaking Warner's in DC.
Yeah. Actually, moving on to something that they have been kind of doing right, I think, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this right, S.A. Morales, formerly of NYPD Blue and Ozark and Caprica and probably a lot of other things, is going to be playing Deathstroke in the upcoming Titans season 2.
And they are totally doing that one right. I don't really like the series, but bringing him in, that's awesome. He's a terrific actor. Love him. Ever since La Bamba, which is a pretty old movie at this point.
Oh, damn, you're going to have that song stuck in my head for another week.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, he's terrific.
And Deathstroke's also a great character. I mean, that's how we got Arrow to go as long as we did.
Yeah. So that's tremendous. I like that. I may actually slog through Titans just to get to the end of this series season so I can start watching it for him. So that's very, very cool.
Speaking of the streaming services where, you know, the DC one where Titans are available, the Disney streaming service has another Marvel series planned. And I think this one's kind of interesting. It's not going to be technically part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe canon because it's a what if series.
Yeah. I love this.
If you're not familiar with the books, What If was basically this storyline, you know this. Yes, it went this way. What if this character way back here did this? How would things have changed?
Yep.
Like, what if one of my favorite ones was, what if Wolverine became an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. instead of one of the X-Men?
That's a cool one.
That was good. I liked that.
What's funny is that they've revisited at least two of these concepts and turned them into huge story arcs, because one of them was what if Gwen Stacy had been bitten by the spider, and of course it was Spider-Gwen. What if Jane had found the hammer of Thor, and of course Jane became Thor? So it's a really cool concept. The comics were really interesting, but the fact that they're going to do these on the service is like, I mean, that's another big plus for saying, okay, I'll shelve this over. That's two less Starbucks a month. So, I mean, cause that's eventually, or maybe one less trip to Starbucks a month, which is nothing. So totally going to be worth it.
I think it will be. See, other Marvel news, two other bits. Another acclaimed, they keep saying everyone's acclaimed. We need to come up with buy a thesaurus. Get another word. Director Destin Daniel Cretton. I hope it's Cretton. It could be Cretton. I don't know. Has been set to helm the Shang-Chi movie for Marvel.
Yes.
Which I think is going to be interesting, although they've updated the character since I knew about him back in the 70s. I stopped paying attention. Apparently now he can duplicate himself, which I thought was really, I didn't know that.
That's kind of strange. I mean, bringing in that particular power. Was it Multiple Man or?
Yeah, Multiple Man's made sense, kind of, in a strange mutant X-Men kind of way.
Right. Shang-Chi doesn't, unless it's like some cheap projection or something. I can kind of see that aspect to it. But I imagine he's no longer going to be the son of Fu Manchu either. So
probably not.
Yeah, I think they'll make some changes. I'm, again, because it's Marvel, really, really looking forward to this, because really no missteps so far. I mean, there have been some that have just been, well, that was pretty good. And when that's, again, when that's the low bar, you have every reason to have high expectations for the next big thing they come out with. So very, very cool.
And I think this is going to make a lot of people happy. Kevin Feige has said nothing about it because he's probably not allowed to yet. But filmmaker Scott Derrickson, who's working on the sequel to Doctor Strange, posted something on Twitter this week involving the Submariner. So, you know, we might actually be getting... now, apparently the Submariner's rights are kind of like Hulk's in that they're tied up with a company that doesn't want to do anything with it as far as a standalone movie.
Yeah.
But Doctor Strange's character may be doing an underwater thing in the next movie, and that's how we could end up getting Namor, the Submariner, into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like a lot of people have wanted.
Which would be very, very cool. I mean, he's one of the big...
He's one of the oldest characters.
Yeah, he and Captain America are the first two, along with, well, I'm not sure which came first, Namor, America, Captain America, or the Human Torch, who back then was an android. Was
right.
But anyway, yeah, he's been around since the 40s. And yeah, it's high time that we get the cool water-based hero as opposed to Aquaman, which, yeah, the movie is much better, and they've done a good job on fixing the character from the Abomination that they did in the 60s. But anyway...
David did it fine back in the 80s, but no one paid attention to it. Well, a lot of people didn't pay attention to it. Anyway, lots of love, Pete. Anyway, while we're underwater, this other film popped up this week that's apparently based on author Howard A. Rodman's new novel, The Great Eastern, which I'll admit I've not heard of. It's setting two iconic anti-heroes. All right. Against each other. It's being touted as Ahab versus Nemo. And that's how the title of this article went. And I thought, Ahab from Moby Dick, I get that. Nemo swims around with Dory. That seems like it would be unfair. Oh, wait. Sorry.
That would be rather unfair.
Captain Nemo of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Got it. That sounds weird, but like it also might work.
I think that's brilliant. I think that absolutely would work. I mean, Ahab is obsessed with killing this whale, and Captain Nemo is obsessed with protecting the oceans. I mean, that's why he was attacking the earthly world, because of what we were doing to the oceans, which is interesting, because how old is that book? So, yeah, I think that's very, very cool. You have two. And again, they're maniacs, both of them.
Yeah.
So, very, very interesting. Very cool.
Ought to be fun.
And well, we'll have to do this on another show. Just think of who they would cast. That would be very, very interesting.
That goes into the last story I've got, which is
beautiful.
Brilliant. I appreciate the segue, because I hadn't had one yet. minor tangent from it, but this is how we're going to get there.
Yes.
Rudy Dolezal. Okay, whatever. He's a filmmaker who did a number of music videos for Queen and Freddie Mercury, has said that there's been talk of making a sequel to Bohemian Rhapsody.
No, thanks.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. The original Bohemian Rhapsody movie ended in 1985, and Freddie Mercury didn't die till 1991, so you got 6 years left to work with.
Right.
All right. Although, admittedly, I liked this, a representative for Queen's record label responded to being asked about whether or not there was a Bohemian Rhapsody sequel by saying, huh? Which I think is a good thing. I don't know that it needs this. I loved the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, but don't make a sequel out of that.
No, the story's told. It's done.
Yeah.
I don't care that there are 6 years left. And I don't care that Queen is still performing, decades later. You've done the story. It's very well done. Really like it. Again, let's chase the dollars. And yeah, I understand it's a business. I understand you're here to make money. Come up with another concept, please. It's like,
but damn,
that story.
Which is exactly what I wanted to bring up to end the show with.
I knew it was coming.
A lot of bands probably deserve to have a biopic done on them.
Oh, yeah.
So my question to you, not you, Todd, although you can answer if you want to. You, the listener, at home or in your car or wherever you happen to be,
Ted,
what band in your mind deserves a biopic, and who would you cast in it? Put your answers on our Facebook page or our Twitter feed. You can find both on the Cinema Savant's website, cinemasavants.com, because it's that easy to find. Who would you want in this in your movie? I think that could be pretty cool.
That'd be very, very cool. Do you have thoughts, sir? I have two that came to me pretty quickly.
I wouldn't.
Not for casting, because it's too early for that.
Yeah, casting, not a clue.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, because it's me and I'm a big Rush fan, he says, knowing that there's not going to be any trivia contest I can win. That's a different story. I'll explain that someday. There actually is a Rush biopic where Rush themselves are actually in it, using footage of them back then when they filmed the band, you know, got the band together and everything. So I don't think we need one.
Oh, but I think it would be, I still think it would be really interesting.
It would be interesting to see, but at the same time, we kind of already have that using actual footage. So, you know, and the band themselves are narrating it. Oh. It's not going to get much better than that. I was thinking possibly a Nine Inch Nails one.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting. To me, one of the problems with going with a band that's still around, and one of the bands I'm going to mention is still around, so that kind of goes against what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But the story isn't done yet for that group. So
you can make a sequel out of it.
Yeah, you can make a sequel out of it. So there you go. And of course, and Elton John is still performing, but you know, whatever. First thing I thought of was the Beatles, and I thought, no, it's kind of been done in tangential ways, and they would just screw it up, so I don't really want to see that. I would like to see the Stones, though. I think the Stones would be a terrific story, and yes, they are. Actually, still.
Now that you mentioned it, it just occurred to me, they haven't done the Stones, have they?
Now, there have been, three documentary films about them, at least, and you know, and a lot of behind the scenes stuff and backstage stuff, blah, 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 blah. But I still think that would be a really compelling story of, as Bohemian Rhapsody was. I mean, you could have footage all you want of Queen performing live, and then we might have some backstage stuff, but you're still not going to get the story from that you did in Bohemian Rhapsody. So I think the Stones would be a great story. And the other one I thought of, because of the crazy dysfunction, which, gee, that kind of goes with rock bands, doesn't it? Would be Cream. I would love to see that. That would be terrific.
Actually, yeah, that would work.
And again, no clue on the casting, because you've got some really iconic performers in Nine Inch Nails, in Rush, the Stones, Cream. I mean, it's just, you know, do you go for, maybe look for musicians who can act? Do you look for act? There's a lot to work with there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variabilities, but.
And again, who do you want to see? Let us know. Contact us on Facebook and Twitter. I think I've got an email up on the website. Let us know. In the meantime, get out and go see a movie.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.